right, let's get right to it. Hour number two, a lot to cover this hour as we continue to stay on top of the biggest story since 9/11. And I would say in many ways there are dynamics to the Las Vegas massacre that are every bit as critically important that all Americans should have the right to know. Of course, we won't. And we're going to do our best here to stay on this for as long as it takes, which probably will be from now on. That doesn't mean every night, but we're going to keep following this story. It's falling apart. They can't keep their storyline straight, their timeline straight. Sheriff Lombardo clearly is always standing right in front of or next to that FBI agent who looks like a drooling pit bull ready to bite his head off if he says the wrong thing. Lombardo used to have some stature and some presence. Not so much anymore. He's a man who has been clearly compromised. But like we say, no big surprise. Looking at the top stories at the homepage, we're going to spend some time on this. Bill Still had an interview with a retired Las Vegas security guard. This is a big one. I heard it, then it was taken off. I couldn't play it for you. It's back up now. We're going to play it and talk about it. Jason Aldean's attorney apparently died in his sleep. All right, so we add that to the list of people somehow connected to Las Vegas, if not a direct survivor, eyewitness, Jason Aldean's attorney, apparently now dead. Absolute proof of helicopter gunfire above the Vegas concert venue. Look at the video. You tell me. Yes, it could be FX. Yes, it could be faked. Do I think it is? No. I've seen plenty of turret-mounted machine guns on the bottom of helicopters over the year, video of it, and I know what it looks like, and that's exactly what it was. It wasn't strobe lights. It was a helicopter shooting probably a 30 caliber 180-degree sweep automatic weapon. Las Vegas flight records reveal military-grade air assault and extraction, all possibles. Good story to think about, process, look at it, see what you think. Failed attempt to silence key Las Vegas massacre media figure. Analyst narrowly escapes severe, if not fatal, car crash. There's one. We'll talk about that. Campos reportedly back at work now. And now they're saying he was shot three times. Well, if you notice and remember our earlier programs, he wasn't shot. They were saying he was hit by two pieces of shrapnel or debris, whatever the hell that means. Now it's three, so they can't keep that story straight either. And he also apparently drove himself to Mexico with three whatevers in his thigh. They finally, somebody said thigh. You figure it out. And then the story there also, is this the same Campos? Take a look. Tell me what you think. Looks like it could easily be two people. Gary Holland is back with us tonight. He has contributed so importantly, and what a length and breadth of understanding of a town, an industry, a community he has. You know, if you've been listening, he is a very special commentator. I will call him a journalist at this point because he is that. And he's the man who was almost taken out with the car issue. Gary, welcome back, and tell us what really happened there.
Good evening, Jeff. Yeah, well, what happened was, like they explained it, you know, on your page if they read it. Basically, what happened was I had been using it throughout the day because I had went to gym and went to my gym in the morning. And I was, this was like, I'd say about 7:30 at night. I was going down 95 South, and basically, I started, you know, because I my back history is that I used to work on cars. That was my trade when
right.
I first got out of the Marine Corps.
Right.
And I actually started working on cars actually even during when I went to tech school and high school.
You're so a mechanic.
I've been doing this
all
for
right.
a long time. Yes, and I've been doing this since the 1980s. So since the late 1980s, I've been working on cars. So anyway, I could feel a really weird feeling in my steering wheel. I said, you know, this ain't right. So what I did is I got to the far breakdown lane. I slowed down to about 10 miles an hour, put my hazards on, got off the next exit, you know, because the next exit was maybe about less than a half a mile. So I just really babied it till I got to the next exit.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, when I got off the exit, there's a parking lot right there off the exit. I know the area where I was at. So as I pulled into the entrance of the parking lot, basically the whole driver's side, passenger side, I'm sorry, collapsed down in. And I said, you know, man, to me, I was like, well, it's something going on. Plus my steering wheel locked up. And so I couldn't steer at all, basically. And then I had to drag basically what I was doing. You know, it's a rear wheel drive vehicle. So it's pushing the front. The passenger wheel's locked.
Totally locked up. So you're pushing it across the ground like an enforced skid. Okay.
Exactly. So I got in, I got out of the car, I parked in the parking spot, I looked underneath, and what I would have found was the nut from the bottom ball joint was gone, completely gone. Let me give a little background. About 3 months before that, maybe about 3.5, 4 months before that, I had redid the whole front end, basically. I put new upper and lower control arms, both sides. And when I got the upper and lower control arms, they were what they call completes. What I mean by a completes is it's the control arm, all the bushings, and the ball joints, upper and lower.
Uh-huh.
So when you look at the picture on there, that's all new stuff. That's nothing old.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The nut, which is kind of like if you see the top, look at on that picture, you can see the top nut, which is this basically it's the same exact nut you would have on the bottom. The nuts were all brand new. So, I didn't use any old nuts because everything comes new with a complete. You get the new nut, you get everything, you get a new cotter pin, everything. So, you know, and I always triple check my work when I do it. I'm not a person that, you know, that goofs off, and I've never had any shop that I've ever worked at. I never had what they call comebacks. I'm not that type of person. I'm a very thorough person when I work on cars.
Gotcha.
And so this has been going on. You know, I've had this, you know, done this about, like I said, almost 4 months ago now. If it was mechanic's error, which, you know, I've read some stuff where someone said, oh, I was a mechanic's error. No. If it was a mechanic's error within the first 2 days, I would have, if I had forgot to put
well, you're the mechanic.
And that nut backed off.
It's called instant accountability. You're the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And if that nut would have backed off on its own, it would have did it in a few days. And I wouldn't have did it 4 months after the job. Okay. If you could see, you could actually see the threads are still fresh and they're shiny because you've got to understand that probably for out throughout the day today, that day, which was a couple of days ago now, it was slopping around inside that hole because there was nothing holding it at that point. It was just basically sitting in there. And, you know, that part of the freeway where I was going down 95 South, it's very wavy. It's very bumpy in that area. And more than that, and what I was doing is it was bumping. What ended up happening is it basically jarred the rest of the way loose. And that's probably where I was right at the teeter end when I started feeling the steering get really strange.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I got off and I turned, you know, I did that sharp turn to get into the parking lot. That's when it popped the rest of the way off and locked down.
Sure.
Now, if I was just a layman and I didn't really understand cars, I would have kept going. And that would have definitely popped out. And that would have been an instant flipping. That truck would have flipped over. Because you're doing 70 miles an hour. That thing just basically locked to the left. If you could tell, I mean, then locked to the right. So that steering wheel just went totally right. And that would just completely would have flipped. As a matter of fact, if you're on the right, think about it, because we're on the freeways here in this area, we have what they call sound walls. Okay. So every freeway here has what they have, these sound walls. Okay. So when you're driving down the freeway, I basically would have went ripped to the right and I would have just slammed right into a sidewall and flipped the truck right over. And that's what would have happened. No doubt about it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You can see by the picture even how that lower control arm went right into the actual tire up into the
tire
itself. And actually, so, you know, right now that, you know, I've ordered another part. I'll have it fixed in a couple of days. But, you know, that was just a close call. But now I'll be definitely checking underneath my car every time I, you know, do something. And so anyway, I tried to call Metro and have a report to, you know, just report, hey, you know, someone tampered with my car, I want to file a, you know, police report. And the lady, you know, I called what they call 311 here, which is non-emergency 311. And, you know, I didn't call 911 because it wasn't an emergency. I just wanted to, you know, make a police report. So I called 311 non-emergency. She starts getting my information, dispatcher, get my name and address, and I told her what would happen. So she took my information. Since she puts me on hold, she pauses for a second and puts me on hold. Like she was reading something. I'm not sure, but she put me on hold, came back, said, well, The supervising desk sergeant said they're not going to have a patrol car come out because they're not going to make a report. And I said, well, why can't you? And she said, well, I'm not going to make a report because there was no crime committed. There was no verifiable crime committed. And I said, verifiable. I said, how does one verify, how do you verify a crime? And she goes, well, you would have had to have seen the person underneath the car, actually taken the nut off, and then held them for
basically a
citizen's arrest. Yeah. Yeah. And then that would have been a verifiable crime. So they basically just didn't want to do it. So then I called my gym, and it's a 24-hour-a-day gym. And I called up, and I said, hey, I need to talk to your manager. I got in touch with the assistant manager. Talked to the assistant manager, explained what was going on. I said, I want to review your security tape of that. Then they have, there's data. It's not even a tape anymore. Obviously, it's digital.
It's a digital loop.
And she said, well, we couldn't do that. I said, well, why not? She goes, do you have a subpoena? I'm like, I have no subpoena. I said, no, I don't. I just wanted, there was a crime committed, and I want to be able to somehow prove it. Said, well, if the only way you can do that, if you want to review any security without a subpoena, you would have to, and you wouldn't be able to do it, she said, basically our security department with the police would have to come out, Metro Sheriff would have to come out and review the video. They're the only ones who are allowed to do that.
Wow.
So basically, it's like, it's a shut deal, and you're not going to...
Well, your name's on a list, and so glad you're all right. And these things, look, it's so easy to take people out anymore. It just isn't hard, and there's no compassion, no care, concern for human life. It means nothing.
No, there isn't. And explained why they did it the way they did with that ball. See, if that had caused an accident, even during an accident investigation, they wouldn't have been able to tell, because they would have just said, well, it backed off and that's what happened. Bad work.
Right.
Did bad craftsmanship. They just, a lot of different things. That's something where you really don't, can't. It's unprovable.
Even if you'd had it done by someone else, that would introduce a few percentage points of possibility to it, okay? But you did it yourself.
Yeah.
So, and you don't screw around.
Myself.
Yeah.
And the tow truck driver I had pick up my car that night, he's been towing for 20 years, he said. He said he's never seen a ball. He's seen ball joints and control arms pop off because they're old and worn. He's seen that stuff. He said, but he's never seen one where the nut just backed off by itself and just popped off. He says he's never seen it. He said he's never seen it. And
right.
I said, I even gotten a second opinion too. I know a guy who's been working on cars for over 40 years. And I talked to him too. I said, hey, show him the picture. I said, what do you think of this? He goes, I've never seen something like that in all my years of working on a car like that. So it just wouldn't happen.
Wow. All right. Well, again, we're glad you're all right. Be careful. We all have to be careful now.
Yep.
This Las Vegas story, they wanted to go away. Everybody, all the big hitters, wanted to go away. And that raises the issue. Well, if they wanted to go away so bad, why was it allowed to happen? Did this get pulled off by a rogue element somehow that was under the radar that even the Mossad didn't know about? I doubt that. But then that raises the issue of the Mossad and the tribe. Why are they going to deal a potentially mortal blow to their Goyim gold mine? That makes no sense. Too many other venues around the country. Too many outdoor concerts. Too many locations. Why Las Vegas? This is suggestive of a genuine terror attack somehow involving mercs and other high-level insiders, very high-level insiders. And I don't know. I have no idea. I can only speculate.
Usually an operation like this, though, always gets the Zionist seal of approval.
Sheldon Adelson is not a happy man.
No. These type of missions are always goal-oriented. They just don't do a mission or do an operation like this just to do something. They had to have a goal in mind, and the goal, and it's not to lessen what happened with the slaughter of these people, but the slaughter of the people might have just been the side effect or a symptom of the operation or what they call collateral damage. That might not have been the goal at all, as a matter of fact. That might have just been, like I said, that had a part of the operation that needed to be done. But when they planned this operation, they weren't planning it because that's all they wanted to do is just wipe out people, and that was it. There's a much bigger, sinister goal for this whole operation, which is why, as you could tell, where they had their dupe, you know, the guy who lived in Florida and then became radicalized magically. And, you know, and then they sent him up to New York and he rented a Home Depot truck and went and ran people over. Now, they're going to sell this story forever. You're going to see. This story's going to be sold for quite a while now. They're upselling it already, you know, about the terrorism
and blah, blah, blah.
But you notice how fast, now, they how fast did it take them to announce ISIS claimed responsibility for that one in New York? They did, and they said, yes, it's ISIS, he's ISIS, it's this, it's that, he's a lone wolf ISIS, but it's all about he's ISIS. Now, what happened here in town, how fast did they say, it wasn't ISIS, ISIS is just making stuff up, and when they claimed responsibility, not once, twice, three times. And they all three times said, nope, wasn't had nothing to do with them, you know, look the other way, has nothing to do with ISIS. So just the way they want to wipe this whole story completely off the
I've never seen more suppression
the archives they could
like
even.
This is so fast completely quashed. By the way, in New York, just so all of you know, the first witnesses who were interviewed reported that there were two people in the truck, not just the driver. The other one was apparently shooting as well. Patty Doyle will be on later tonight and she'll bring us up to date on that. You don't hear about the second person in the truck. All you hear about is the lone nut. But there were two people, period.
And you notice how they got him on film. This guy's on film. He's running around with
fake
guns.
Yeah.
And he's got these, it obviously has, you know, you could tell he's been, obviously his brain's been mind controlled. He's been programmed. He's saying all the right things. I want the ISIS flag in my hospital room. You know, he's got the Allah Akbar, you know, he's got the saying, made sure everyone heard it. You know, these guys are crazy people and they do this stuff. Yes, they do. Granted.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you got a guy who lived in Florida, he's an Uber driver, and then all of a sudden, now he's been here for a lot of years, all of a sudden he decides, drive to New York, stay in New Jersey for a few days, rent a Home Depot truck, and then commit some type of act terrorism in New York City. Why not do it in Tampa? You know, why not drive down to Miami? Why not drive to Atlanta?
These are all questions the media ought to be asking, but they're not asking anything. They're not even mentioning Las Vegas anymore. So we got no media here. We got no news. We got no journalism. We have no what they call the fourth estate. They don't have it. All right, let's do this. Bill Still, who does some really fine work, put together a piece. Somehow, he got a Las Vegas security guard to do an interview with him. And he put the piece up with the guard, his voice, and his name. Which was really not, and Bill already admitted that, it wasn't the smartest thing to do. He should have protected that guard. He should have said, no, we're not using your name. No, we're not using it. But he did. So they had the video up. They took it down almost immediately. The guard said, I want that video up there. Just get my name off of it. The truth has got to come out. Now, what I'm going to do is play this, and I'll be stopping it during... it's about 22 minutes long. We'll stop it, and Gary and I will make an observation or two here and there, and you'll all get to hear it. Now, I'm going to go through the bottom of the hour. I'm not going to take a commercial break. I apologize to the sponsors and thank them for their understanding. This is just is too critical. I've got to get this in. And I want to commend Bill Still for his work, as always, very thoughtful, very pragmatic, and he got almost everything right. So let's take a listen, and Gary and I will be here, and I'll stop it occasionally, and we'll get some commentary. All right, here we go. Mr. Bill Still.
Good afternoon. I'm still reporting on telephone threats against our sources of inside information. A lot of you have written in wondering what happened to this report. It disappeared for a day. We first published this report about 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, October 29th. But the security guard featured in the story got nearly, catch this, 300 threatening calls before sunrise on Monday from a number which his caller ID identified as 0000. So he called me and asked me to remove his name from the video, but put the story back up so that people could know the truth. This is a brave, brave American, and we salute you, sir. So, with some modifications, here is the video we first ran on Sunday. On Thursday, Tucker Carlson interviewed David Dickey, the head of Jesus Campos Union. He told Tucker that Campos did not need a so-called guard card. That's why he did not have one. However, on Sunday, we got a call from a 15-year veteran security guard in Las Vegas casinos who called that a big fat lie. Let's take a look at the segment of Tucker's interview with Mr. Dickey first. Also note that he claimed Campos was treated at a quick care clinic, but this too is denied by the guard, who says these facilities are not allowed to treat gunshot wounds because they don't even have an X-ray machine, as well as other essential equipment for that kind of surgery. Also note that Mr. Hickey says that Mr. Campos was not taken to the quick care clinic until Thursday, 11 days after the shooting. Does that make sense to anyone?
No. Now, we're going to play the next segment, which is Tucker Carlson. And in my view, Tucker is number one. He is the best real journalist working in the so-called alternative world of media. He's superb. Any comment real quick, Gary?
Not so far. Everything okay. Sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. This is Tucker Carlson.
So let me ask you a couple questions, just factual ones, because we don't know them. What was his job at the hotel?
Jesus is a security officer, or was a security officer at Mandalay Resorts.
All right. This guy is Jesus' former boss and union guy. All right.
Is he licensed by the state? How does that work?
No. Security officers that work directly for a company, yes, in-house security, they do not have to be licensed. They don't have to have guard cards, security cards. If they work for a contract agency, then yes, they do.
Can you describe the nature of his injuries?
Mr. Campos was wounded in the left thigh. Two fragments of a shell hit him in the left thigh, and when I met him for the first time on that Monday, he was recuperating. He was in good spirits and looking to tell his story and move on with his life.
Had those fragments been removed when he took the trip to Mexico?
You know, I was told one of them had been removed and one of them had not, and that they were going to deal with that issue at a later date.
Had Mr. Campos ever seen Stephen Paddock before the shooting?
Not to my knowledge.
Does he still work for MGM?
He still works for MGM, yes.
Did they set up the Ellen interview, his employer?
I don't know who set up the Ellen interview. We had five interviews set up
yes,
prior to that. I know that when I was in town, Ellen's interviewer, the person that schedules the interviews, called Mr. Campos on his cell phone. He handed me the phone. I took the phone, responded to her that she could call to arrange an interview if she wanted, and then we didn't hear from her. And of course, after that, Mr. Campos was taken to a clinic on Thursday.
But why did he skip the interviews?
I can't speak for Mr. Campos on that. I've had no contact with him since that time. And, you know, I think, it, you know, it's Mr. Campos' story, and I think he has a right to tell it on his own. You know, as far as we were concerned, we were prepared to do the interviews. We were hours away, 5 hours away from actually doing the first interview.
And then he disappeared without explanation. Do you know where he went?
We received a text saying that we are taking him to the quick care.
So here's a guy who was called a hero because he was evacuating people from rooms while bleeding after he was shot. Remember in version one of the story, it was police officers who insisted that he go to the hospital. But then Tucker Carlson, the day after the shooting, called all the quick cares in the city and they reported that Campos had not been there. So how do they change the story now? Now they don't send him to the clinic until 11 days after he was shot? So what did he do? Put a tourniquet on his thigh and then drive down to Mexico to deposit some money in a safe place?
And who's we? Who was taking him?
There was, when we left the room, we were having a meeting with three upper-level MGM management people. And when we left the room that we were in, or left the living room, it was Mr. Campos, one other security officer, a fellow yep. member of the union, and then there was a corporate security officer.
Yeah, of course there was. MGM's in charge, clearly.
Now we'll hear the phone interview I did with a real Las Vegas casino security guard.
This is absolutely excellent. The guy is truly a hero to be commended. Much more of a hero than Mr. Campos, in my view. Anything, Gary?
Yeah, if you notice what the union president was saying during the Tucker Carlson interview, and that interview, he had claimed that he personally had knew that he had went and took that trip to Mexico on a pre-planned vacation, but he had made a statement right at the beginning. If you go back further back to a statement he gave, I think, to the Review Journal, maybe a week and a half before that, mm-hmm. when Campos first disappeared, all he said was, "We got a text late at night that he went to UMC Quick Care, and we do not know, at this point, we do not know where he is at all."
That's right.
So his story changed from that week and a half later. He changes his story to, he tried to make the story run continuous, saying, "Oh, he went to UMC Quick Care, but then he went on a trip to Mexico, and we knew about it." But see, during that, later on in that interview, like I said, because he didn't play that part, he never said even the timeline of that. He just said, went to UMC Quick Care, and then said, but, and then when Tucker asked him, "Hey, did you also know that he went to Mexico?" And he said, "Yeah, we did. We knew he was on it was a pre-planned vacation."
Yeah,
that story had changed with him, and also he had looked like he was sweating bullets that night on that.
That's exactly right. All right, let's get back to this. Here's the retired Las Vegas security guard who knows the score.
That interview with Tucker Carlson, that union rep just flat out lied about having certain license that Jesus Campos needed. You have to have an insurance card that is given out by the Metropolitan Police Department. That's a must for me to work in a casino.
That makes perfect sense.
Tucker asked him about the special license. He flat out said that Jesus Campos didn't need a gaming card, which is a lie. If you're going to be working around any type of slot machines, you need a gaming card to Metro Police Department. And if you're near bars and you're working near the bars, you need a alcohol awareness card that is issued by the state. So he's supposed to have these two licenses, plus he's supposed to have his CPR AED certification to the state also. That's the defibrillator that you're trained to use, the defibrillator in case someone goes down with a heart attack or a stroke. It is the housekeepers. They have a non-gaming card, which they need to work in a casino. Even though they're not working in the gaming area, they still need a non-gaming card. But for security, you need to have a gaming card. So I watched your program on YouTube, so I thought I'd just email you about the interview about and how he lied about not needing, you know, any type of license.
And go ahead and tell us what your experience as an armed security officer has been over the years.
Well, right now I'm retired. I got hurt on my last job. I got hurt. The two casinos that I worked for, I worked for one for 7 years. And I was armed there. I needed all the cards, the gaming card stating that I was armed. I needed the alcohol awareness card because I'd be working around the bars, and the CPR AED certification. And that for 7 years with that company, I did a lateral transfer over to the second company where I did my last stint, and that's when I got hurt, and I had a poor early retirement.
So the gaming card is called the Sheriff's card?
Yes, yes. What Tucker is saying is that they've been looking through the private investigators, the PIID card. That's only for private security. That has nothing to do with the casinos. That's security watching a construction site or, you know, during concert venues. They have to get a PIID card. But if you're going to work inside the casino, you need a Nevada's gaming card that is issued through the Metropolitan Police Department.
Okay. Anything else on this that you'd like to say?
I think this is a big cover-up as far as the Las Vegas shooting. This Capitol's security officer, he doesn't fit. He doesn't fit. You know, you get one, they're saying that he was only issued to be a concert security guard, only to the concert venues. And now they're saying that he was in the hotel, that he didn't need no special license. It just doesn't make sense. That's all I got to say. I need the truth to be told.
So you smell a big rat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? You can tell when you look at the body language of Sheriff Lombardo, which I met that man twice. When he was the sheriff here, I met him twice. And when he does speeches, he's straight out. He comes straight to the fact. But if you look at the last couple interviews that the press conference that he had, that wasn't the Sheriff Lombardo that I knew of and that I saw.
Yeah,
you know, the previous encounters.
I'm so glad you said that, because the very first press conference that he gave, he impressed me as being a completely straight sheriff, and we were going to get to the truth. But then the second one, he came out and he looked like he had been beaten, or you know, his wife threatened or something. He was scared to death.
It's just that FBI agent that's always to the side of him. With those devil eyes.
Devil eyes.
It's making the sheriff wants to tell the truth, but the FBI is like sticking a stick on his side to make sure that he reads the script and what he needs to be, you know, to tell the press.
Right.
But I think this massacre, the Vegas massacre, is a big BS. Something's gotta come out. The truth needs to come out about this.
Gosh, I wonder if it ever will. You know, Las Vegas is such a mob town. I just wonder if they're ever going to be able to break through.
I don't know. I mean, you know, so much people are, you know, I talk to my friends that live here, and they go to outside venues, you know, outside concerts and stuff, and they don't want to do that no more because of what had happened. You know, and the people that I talk with, they're all shaken up yet, even though it's going to be a month. People are shaking up about, you know, going to an outside venue.
Yeah,
it's kind of scary.
That was nothing but a slaughter, a set-up slaughter.
And, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theory people who are saying, where's the body? Where, you know, we didn't see no blood. I live just blocks from the coroner's office, and you'd have to see, I swear, it was like 3 days after the shooting.
He lives a couple blocks from the coroner's office. Now listen to what he's saying. 3 days after the shooting.
And the hearse is just pulling out of that place. There was just lines and lines of vans and hearses just taking the bodies, I guess, to the airport to be shipped back to their homes. It was just crazy. I've never seen nothing like that. I lived here in Vegas for 20 years. I've never seen something this bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's some type of a group that just deliberately tries to confuse every single big incident that happens by saying, oh, it's just actors and it didn't really happen.
Right. Oh, it happened. I mean, you can hear the two different gunshots. I mean, you can hear the one that's very far top, then you can hear the one that sounds like a belt-fed semi-auto. I mean, an automatic.
Right.
You know, and I've been around firearms you know, for my job, we have to go every 6 months, we have to go qualify for our firearm license. And we hear the different types of weapons being shot off. And I had the opportunity to shoot off a belt automatic rifle. And it sounded like the second shot that came out of that hotel tower. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and if you look at the pictures, that gun is going to be seen in the pictures that was given out to the press.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that belt-fed one is about twice as fast as the other one.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just...
But going back to Jesus Campos, this guy stinks of high heaven. He stinks of high heaven because this guy goes missing, then takes a trip. Well, back it up first. He gets shot, then he goes to a quick care. I have two friends that work at a quick care here. They said they don't have anything in their facilities to do with gunshot wounds. They have to transport that person to an emergency room.
A trauma center, probably.
Yes. They said they can't take anybody with gunshot wounds. They have to have them transported to a major hospital. And when I talked to my sister friend, he said the same thing. That the facility don't have the things there to extract bullets. They don't even have an X-ray machine in the quick kits. So, and then this kid drives 700 miles to Mexico with a bullet in his leg, or then he appears on Ellen. This kid stinks.
Yeah.
Yesterday, this brave gentleman called to tell me what happened to him after this ran.
Okay, I just think it would be good for your insurance if you would just tell me that again, just what you told me.
Okay, after the video was posted, about 2 hours after the video was posted, I had a phone call with just 4 digits on the caller ID with 4 zeros. And I answered the first time, it hung up, it called back, like not even a minute later, called back, I answered, and I heard a faint voice. It was disguised, like some of the YouTube videos, you hear like the robot program voice.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounded exactly like that, and it said, it told me, You shouldn't have done the interview. And it hung up. And that number kept calling throughout the whole night to early in the morning. I woke up about 5:30 in the morning. I looked at my phone and had over 20 missed calls from that same number, so I blocked it. Today, around 10:45, I was doing errands. And a second number called. This time it was 30, and the last digit was 1. So it was 0001. And that number kept calling me throughout the whole day. I blocked that number. And so far, I haven't been getting calls. But it's kind of scary, though.
I know. I know. I was stupid. I should have. It's my fault. I should have known better. Somebody.
Well, you know what? I gave you the permission to use my name, so I just wanted the truth to be told.
Right.
You know, and I still want the truth to be told. And I forgot to mention that here in Las Vegas, the security departments in the hotel and casinos is one of the departments that doesn't have a union. The only jobs in the casino that has a union are the housekeeper, the porters that clean in the casino, the dealers, and some of the bars, like the bartenders and cocktail waitresses. Security do not have a union. That's a lie right there.
Okay, there you go. I'll stop it right there. That's enough. You can look at the rest of it up at Rents anytime you want. Okay, Gary, let's no union for security guards from a 15-year veteran of being a security guard. All kinds of holes in the story. He said it stinks. He said Campos' story stinks. You don't fool this guy. He knows what he's talking about.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he's true. When you work at any casino, you have to have a sheriff's card. I don't care what you do in that casino, you're getting a sheriff's card.
Mm-hmm.
And the alcohol awareness and the CPR and the defibrillator, that's all things you have to have as security at a casino. Usually, too, they would be most, I'd say about 99.9% of all, even casino security, is licensed through the way they do security here in Nevada is they license them through the private investigators licensing board. That's where you get your security guard card from too. It's
uh-huh.
the same. It's done through PI licensing. And when you apply, say you want to go apply for a job over at a casino, they at least want you to have a minimum of 1 year security experience before they even hire you into a casino. So, in order to get your 1 year experience, you would have to go work for a private security company, which then before you work for a private security company, you would have to go through the private investigators licensing board to get your security license. And you have to have some type of, training and, training you need to get your card. They make you take a test and all that type of thing to get your security guard card. But like you can try to apply at any casino here in town. They at least want you to have 1 year, at least a minimum of 1 year experience. Ex-military, they don't usually require that. But, Campos was not an ex-military anything. So he would have had to, if he was true security, they usually require you to have a year's experience as security guard in the state of Nevada. See, the other thing about the state, businesses around this town is that they don't really like hiring people that just moved into town because this is such a transient town. They want to see you at least established in this town at least 6 months before a security job or somebody would take you serious and hire you. That's just the way they are here. Yeah, because that's just a lot of people that's moved here think they're going to get a job right away unless you have a professional position. But if you're just like an unexperienced person, you just want to get a job here, they usually want you to be at least living in this town for 6 months just due to the fact there's people moving and out of here all
the
time.
Okay. All right.
And yeah, exactly. So when that union, whatever this guy is, if it's true what he was saying that, about Campos. Okay, well, Campos would have had to have some type of history in this state. You see what I mean? And to
sure.
me, it just seems like Campos is just a figment of MGM's imagination. The more and more I look into this Campos guy, it's either there's one of two things. It's what I told you, what they do, the old thing about the casinos is the old biggest hidden secret in the world is they hire a lot of illegal aliens. And what they do, once a year, they go down to HR, change out their social security numbers, and change their name out. Because a lot of casinos here do that here in town.
Uh-huh.
And don't let anyone say they don't because they do, because we knew people that exactly. We just say, I knew people that seen it for their own, witnessed it. And would complain about it, and no one did nothing about it. And I'm also including the federal government because they knew about it. So, either he was an illegal alien working as security, and his Jesus Campos was just a name for that year he was using, or he just never worked there. It's one of the two.
Got it. All right. This is not going to get any more clear. The stories are so convoluted now and so corrupted in terms of their timeline and their fluidity. They've got enormous holes. It seems like every time they do something new, there are bigger holes that show up. It's worse than Swiss cheese. And then we've got the footage of the helicopter. Now, you're a Marine. You know about turret mounted and
yep.
30 cals under, or whatever caliber. Under helicopters, and you've looked at this video. We've got it up there. What are your thoughts about it?
It's far away. I did see the tail, signal lights. That's the aircraft signal lights. But there is it looks like coming from the actual front of the helicopter below where the cockpit is. There looks like it's a muzzle flash.
Right.
Where that copter is flying around over, by the way, I reviewed it and I just slowed it down. It looks like it's over Tropicana, in between the New York and Excalibur, and in between there is Tropicana.
Huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It looks like he was hanging over Tropicana And my opinion was, if he was firing, he wasn't firing on the crowd. He was actually firing on police squad cars that would be coming down Las Vegas Boulevard and down Tropicana to get to the scene.
Yeah.
So that would make the sense, because they would want to fire upon the, which is basically your potential, or an armed, you know, your armed person
adversary.
They'd
be coming to stop the whole thing.
Yeah, of course you're going to fire upon them, because they're the ones who are the most presented, most intimate danger to your guys on the ground, who are your ground guys, and who are doing the sweeps, and even your second and third teams.
So they were running interference for the shooting teams, you think, possibly?
Exactly. That's what it seems to me, because that helicopter, I played the video like three different times. I slowed it down. I looked at the buildings and just placed that helicopter. And to me, it looks like he's right in between New York and Excalibur. That would put him right above Tropicana Avenue, which is, by the way, it would be the west side of Las Vegas Boulevard, Tropicana Avenue. So that'd be like, if you go a little bit farther up, right there is the freeway, the 15 freeway, off and on ramps. Okay. And then there's a bridge that goes over, and that'd put you farther down Tropicana. But where he was sitting would be like about a little bit east of the freeway, but west of Las Vegas Boulevard, sitting literally in between, above Tropicana, right in between. New York, and Excalibur. And I looked, and like I said, he did do that swoop too, because I noticed he dipped his front, you know, the front down, where they do that swoop, where that would have been giving him more of a better angle for the shooting and more accurate shot. And he was firing upon probably for police squad cars. And if you remember right, the police did say that they were using the police at cars to block from the supposedly the shooting that they were saying was coming for MGM to provide people for protection. And that would have gave them cover if any reports came out that there was rounds that went into police cars. And they won't tell you that would have went through the roof of the police cars, and it would have went to the trunks of the police cars, and it would have hit the sides of the ones coming down Las Vegas Boulevard. If any of the cars that were coming, squad cars that were coming down Tropicana, because they would have been coming down Tropicana too. They'd have been pouring in, these cars would have been pouring in all ends. They would have been coming down Tropicana, both west and east side of Trop. They'd have been coming down north and south ends of Las Vegas Boulevard. They'd have been coming down all the side streets. So, he looked like he was sitting right above Tropicana. And to me, that would probably, like I said, would have been in support of the actual primary on the ground. What have we been doing?
We have, remember, this operation, and Gary made this point first, was a citywide operation. By my count, at least 10 hotels, shooters inside or at the hotel outside, Planet Hollywood, Bellagio, we know the names by now. There's something about this that is enormous. This had so many facets to it. And I am convinced that some of the shooters, probably the A team or the number one team, extracted possibly by helicopters. One of the reports has four or five helicopters that were being tracked. They had transponders on, and right at the right time, they turned their transponders off, and they could have been doing anything. We don't know. We can't track them.
Yeah, and they went in undercover, because you have to understand that two or three hangars down from Janet Air Terminal is a company called Maverick Aviation. Maverick Aviation basically is a tour helicopter company. If anyone's been to Las Vegas and they've been to the Welcome Las Vegas sign, they'll hear helicopters flying back and forth. Well, that's a tour company. And basically they do Grand Canyon tours, they do Hoover Dam, they do also Las Vegas Valley tours in the night when there's lights, and even for some reason they go out towards the Hoover Dam at night. I don't know why they go out that way, but they do. People like to see it at night for some odd reason. Mm-hmm. But what they would have did, and it's just, like I said, my opinion. Again, this is my opinion and my theory. They would have used Maverick Aviation as if they were going to extract people. Okay, say, for example, they were extracting them off Mandalay. There's a report of near the second tower of Mandalay, because there's two towers. There's actual Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino, and then there's what they call the Delano. Okay, that's the second tower they built years after. They were extracting, the way I understand it, they were using a helipad on top of the second tower, and there was people coming out. Now, that would have been this is, again, my theory, that the central hub where the ones who were running the op, the ones who would be in charge, were using one of them floors to actually run the op. And then when it was time for them to go, they extracted by helicopter. The primary team that did the sweeps through the actual venue on the ground itself just went by foot, went through concealment, and went right into Janet there. And if you remember right, now, we're talking, say that there was 4 to 6 helicopters that they extracted from various buildings and areas around the strip, and they flew all over towards Mavic, you know, aviation. When they disembarked the helicopters, they would just have to walk down the flight line a little bit, and they'd be right at Janet Air, which they would have had someone there, obviously, to give them entrance to that area. Because that's a highly secured area, but they would have had somebody aid them into getting that area.
Right, they were flown out of there in 20 minutes, sure. Gone.
And if you remember, there was reports that McCarran Tower, now this isn't just one report, but there have been a few reports around town, even on a couple of talk shows here in town. Mm-hmm. McCarran Tower reported that armed gunmen were on the flight line of McCarran Airport, which is why they had McCarran's incoming and outgoing flights shut down for like 2 to 3 hours. They closed it down.
They may have been.
Supposedly the room was secured at Mandalay Bay. They still had that secured.
Right.
They had closed the airport down, which then that would have made sense because these guys would have been going to where they need to go. Once they got to Janet there, it was over. They melted into the scene, and you weren't going to find them anymore after that.
Right. The gunman on the.
I still push Janet Air, Jeff, because man, you know, it's so close. It's not just about convenience, but it would be the most sense because
total
the most
logic.
way to extract them out of this city, mm-hmm, would be through Janet Air.
Right.
Because once they're out of there, which then tells you it's high level involvement. It's very
highest.
High level involvement.
Highest.
You know,
yeah.
No local schmokos did this. No locals did this. No couple of mercs from some, you know, private security company tied to whoever did this. This was very high level planning. There had to have been a lot of people looking the other way, and the only way you get certain things done and make a clean getaway like this, perfectly clean, you have to have people looking out for you. And
yeah,
it's got to be people in high places who can push buttons and do things where you get the access you need and you get the things done that you have to get done, and that requires high-level power.
I agree.
Just people just on the local ground. It just
doesn't. I agree. Gary, thanks very much. We're running late.
Okay.
We continue to update all of you out there to the best of our ability for things that come across our desks that we think you need to know about. And there you go. Keep watching the homepage up at the top. Thanks, Gary. Be safe. Be careful.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Gary Holland in Las Vegas. And so there's your update. A lot going on. Just keep your eye at the top of Rents, and you'll find the latest. And there's a lot on the internet. I can't tell you, I can't go through it all, which ones to view, which ones not to, but the core of the story we have for you, all of it. Back with more in a few minutes.